Section 5, People and the Environment. As you read, look for the mixed results of human attempts to control flooding on the Mississippi River, the causes and effects of coastal erosion, ways in which government and private industry have addressed coastal erosion and tried to reverse the effects of man-made environmental disasters. Terms, wetlands, subsidence, nutria. Throughout history, people have interacted with the environment in ways designed to meet human needs. Native American populations hunted animals for food and moved large amounts of soil to build earthen mounds. In the 1830s, Henry Shreve spent years clearing the tangle of logs called the Red River Raft to make that river more accessible to trade and navigation. A great deal of the human interaction with nature in Louisiana has centered on the powerful Mississippi River. Attempts to control flooding and maintain the river's course have had mixed results. Flood control. Spring floods are a natural part of the Mississippi River's yearly cycle. For thousands of years, those floods deposited the soil that became the land on which many of us now live. Attempts to control the river's yearly floods began after the French claimed Louisiana and established New Orleans in 1718. At first, building levees was the responsibility of those who owned the land along the river. In 1879, the U.S. government established the Mississippi River Commission to coordinate flood control efforts all along the river's course. By 1900, the commission had adopted a levees-only policy to control flooding. The problems with that policy became clear in the wake of a massive flood in 1927. That spring, the river topped levees and flooded nearby towns and farmland as far north as Illinois. In some places, the flooding stretched for 100 miles on either side of the river. Hundreds of thousands were left homeless, and it took 2 months for the floodwaters to recede completely. After that great natural disaster, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers added dams, diversion canals, reservoirs, and other flood control structures to its system of Mississippi River levees. As part of this system, the Corps of Engineers completed the Old River Control Structure in Louisiana in 1963. It was designed to control flooding, but it was also built to prevent the river from changing course and traveling to the Gulf of Mexico through the Atchafalaya River's current course. In 1973, powerful floods almost destroyed the structure. After that, an additional structure was added to keep the Mississippi River flowing along its current course. In 1931, the Corps completed another kind of structure called the Bonnie Carey Spillway. The spillway is an 8,000-foot-long concrete bridge with 350 bays that remain closed most of the time. However, when dangerously high spring floods threaten the city of New Orleans, the bays can be opened and water from the Mississippi River can drain through those open bays directly into Lake Pontchartrain. This will lower water levels and ease pressure on the levees below. These efforts have been important in keeping people and property safe along the lower Mississippi. However, keeping the river from flooding has had unintended consequences. One of those consequences is that when the annual flooding ceased, silt stopped being deposited. This resulted in gradual but significant land loss, particularly along the state's Gulf Coast. Coastal erosion. Coastal erosion is a serious environmental issue in Louisiana. The effects of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita and the aftermath of the nation's largest oil spill in 2010 have made it clear that the survival of Louisiana's wetlands is also a national concern. The state is home to about 40% of the wetlands in the continental United States. Wetlands are swamps, marshes, and other areas that have a natural supply of water and are covered or soaked with water at least part of the year. Unfortunately, Louisiana also has the highest rate of coastal erosion or land loss. Coastal erosion experts say Louisiana has lost 1,900 square miles of land over the last 50 years. Many animal species depend on Louisiana's wetlands. The state's coastal marshes serve as nurseries for 75% of the fish that live in the Gulf of Mexico. The commercial harvesting of fish, shrimp, crabs, and oysters from off the coast of Louisiana provide the nation with much of its seafood. Dozens of bird species also depend on the state's coastal marshes and barrier islands for their habitat and rookeries, breeding grounds, at different times of the year. Coastal erosion and wetlands loss also have very serious results for the millions of people who live near the Gulf Coast. Many jobs and industries depend on access to the Gulf of Mexico. This is especially true for oil and gas companies. About 20% of the oil imported into the United States comes through Port Fourchon in Lafourche Parish. Oil from ocean-going supertankers is offloaded into tanker trucks that travel inland up Highway 1. Coastal erosion has made this critical transportation route vulnerable to seasonal flooding. Over time, it could threaten the road's very existence. Causes of coastal erosion. There are multiple causes for coastal erosion. Nature and humans have both played roles. Subsidence is the slow process of land sinking into the sea. When the Mississippi River flooded annually, new silt was deposited each year, slowing the process of subsidence. Since the 1950s, much of that silt has been trapped upriver behind dams. The remaining silt stays within the levees and runs off into the Gulf of Mexico. The slow rise of sea levels has also played a role. Over the course of the 20th century, the rise in sea levels has added to the effects of subsidence. Storms, especially powerful ones, have high winds and storm surges, can also damage coastal areas. In 1957, Hurricane Audrey's storm surge drove saltwater into freshwater marshes and killed thousands of acres of vegetation. In 2005, Hurricanes Katrina and Rita devastated the state's coastal marshes, destroying more than 200 square miles of wetlands between them. Humans have also contributed to coastal erosion. One way they have done so is by introducing non-invasive plant and animal species to the state's land and waterways. The nutria is the best-known example. The nutria is a rodent that was once highly valued for its fur. These animals can reach 2 feet in length and weigh as much as 20 pounds. Hunters and trappers brought them to Louisiana from South America in the 1930s. No one anticipated that once they were released into the wild, they would do so much damage. Nutria reproduce rapidly and eat virtually any plant. In the marshes, they feed on the roots of the plants that hold the soil together. They also create trails and burrows that cause even more damage. With populations as high as 6,000 animals per square mile, they can sometimes completely remove the vegetation from an area, leaving only barren mudflats behind. These unprotected mudflats are more susceptible to coastal erosion. Another human activity that has caused unintended damage is cutting canals through Louisiana's coastal wetlands. More than 10,000 miles of canals were created in the 20th century. Some canals were cut for navigation or to remove valuable logs, like cypress, from the marsh. Oil and gas companies dug most of the canals to gain access to rich oil and gas deposits or to build pipelines to move the oil and gas inland. Most of these canals were in place before 1980, when new environmental rules limited their construction. The canals already in place widened over time, increasing land loss. Canals that ran into the Gulf of Mexico also provided a way for saltwater to move into freshwater marshes. This saltwater incursion can kill the protective marsh grasses that live only in freshwater. Crisis and response. The federal government recognized the importance of addressing coastal erosion. It adopted the Coastal Wetlands Planning, Protection, and Restoration Act, CWPPRA, in 1990. This legislation is sometimes called the Bro Act in honor of John Bro, a former U.S. Senator from Louisiana. He helped create the legislation and worked hard for its passage. Its purpose is to direct funds to protect and rebuild wetlands in Louisiana and other coastal states. In its first 20 years, CWPPRA funds supported 148 projects designed to restore more than 110,000 acres of lost wetlands. Sadly, this progress for the wetlands was followed by yet another crisis. On April 20, 2010, an explosion on the Deepwater Horizon oil rig set off a chain of events that resulted in the largest and most damaging oil spill in the nation's history. More than 4 million barrels of oil flowed into the Gulf in the months that followed. Oil eventually came ashore in all of the Gulf Coast states. More than 300 miles of coastline was affected in Louisiana alone. Plant, animal, and sea life were all threatened by the oil. Widespread efforts to clean up the oil and protect the fragile coastal marshes and barrier islands were undertaken. Scientists are unsure about the long-term environmental effects of the spill. They continue to check on plant, animal, and sea creatures in the waters of the Gulf of Mexico in order to better understand those effects. The nation's largest oil spill drew attention to the threatened wetlands once again. Gulf Coast states are trying to make sure that the majority of fines levied against the companies involved go back into reclaiming and protecting this fragile but important part of the coastal environment. This is a problem Louisiana cannot solve on its own. It will take national resolve, resources, and commitment to stem the tide of coastal erosion and its resulting land loss in Louisiana. Special feature, Cassatchie, our state's national forest. Did you know that until the end of the 1800s, over 85% of Louisiana was covered with forests? In the 1880s, Louisiana had a lumber boom. Louisiana actually had the highest amount of lumber produced in the nation in 1914. Unfortunately, trees were not replanted appropriately. Louisiana's lumber industry declined just as the Great Depression began in 1929. In 1930, the Louisiana Forestry Department helped bring about the creation of the Cassatchie National Forest. The name Cassatchie comes from a local Native American tribe, the Quechua, who called themselves Cassatchie. The U.S. Forest Service began buying land from closed mills in the parishes of Vernon, Rapides, Grant, Natchitoches, and Winn. Over time, the Forest Service continued to buy land from closed mills and expand the national forest. During the Great Depression, the Civilian Conservation Corps, or CCC, was created to give jobs to unemployed young men and to help conserve the United States' natural resources. The Cassatchie National Forest was the first place in Louisiana to get a CCC camp in 1933. The CCC began replanting pine trees in the area, as well as building fences, roads, and bridges. Thanks to the efforts of the CCC and the Forest Service, the Cassatchie National Forest now covers over 604,000 acres in seven parishes of northern and central Louisiana. In fact, it is the only national forest in all of Louisiana. Cassatchie is a great place for camping, fishing, hiking, hunting, picnicking, and many other outdoor activities. What do you think you would like to do if you visited Cassatchie?